You can pretend as much as you want. Not you. And when I'm saying you, don't take it anything personal when I'm saying the word you. We all have a problem with Ahavat Yisrael. This guy annoys me. This dress is not how I want. He's this, he's that. And if you don't realize that you have a problem with that, then you have a problem with that. So, but what's the problem with Ahavat Yisrael? That person is mean to me. He always parks in my spot. He throws things on my lawn. He's mean to me. Why should I like him? Or he said something like this, or he did something like that. Now, I'm required to love any other person unconditionally. I'm required. I have to. So, you're asking, how do I learn from my kids? When my kids get along, it's the biggest nachas I ever had. When I see my kids get along, when they play with themselves, and they give each other, and they help each other, the biggest nachat I can have. When they fight, it's my toy, it's mine, I was here, it's me. I can't handle it. That drives me crazy. If something can drive me crazy, it's my kids fighting with each other. Especially over a piece of plastic or something irrelevant. That's what takes me out of my state of calm. So what do I learn from that? I'm looking at my kids. I can either lose it and become very upset and scream and go out of my calmness and my clay. Or I take a step back and I say, wow, that's how Hashem feels when I fight with another Jew on something irrelevant, on a piece of plastic. How much I'm causing him the opposite of nachat, that I'm fighting with somebody for no reason. So it makes me understand, okay, now I understand what's Ahavat Yisrael. And when Hashem sees me helping another individual that I don't know, and I'm going out of my way to give him my time, my thoughts, my money, my energy, anything, Hashem is like, that's what I want. I want you to get along. So this is one example out of many examples how I look at my kids, and it's a class. I don't go to yeshiva anymore. I go home. I go home and I look at my kids and I see each one what they do. And I learn from that. So they teach me basically. I can give them the rules, but Ezu Chacham, person who's smart, look at your kids and your kids will teach you. A lot of learning. You don't need 50 kids. One is enough. Two, three, four. And if you're smart, you move your ego away, because most parents will say, I'm the parent. You're going to come and tell me? So move your ego away and say, okay, let me look at my kid. Because kids, they don't have agenda. Kids don't sit in the room, okay, let me think how I'm going out to annoy my mother. They don't do that. They don't have plans. They just impulsive. They just do things. More than that, their essence, they don't have a sin. Till the age of bar and bat mitzvah, they don't have any sins. So they're pure. So the action is also pure. Even though they might steal, kids steal, they lie, they bully other kids, that's because they're kids. The point to take from that is I'm obligated to give my child, I have to educate, give them the knowledge. I have to redesign, so to say, the midah. So you know why? A lot of the mitzvot that we do for kids are not obligated in mitzvot. But my kids from the age of two, my boys wearing tzitzit already. And I put a yarmulke on them when they're already 2 years old. And my girls, when they come to the age of three, they light already a candle. They don't have to light a candle. But I want to get them into the subconscious, into their conscious, that we do the mitzvah, to get them to love to do the mitzvah. On a similar note, I have many, many students that are converts. And I tell them, don't wait to the day that you're coming out of the mikveh to start doing the mitzvot. Because it's going to be foreign to you. Start doing the mitzvot now. Some things you're not obligated in doing, or you actually prohibit in doing, that don't do. But start getting used to it. You have to eat kosher? Start already now eating kosher. Not in a year when you're going to be a Jew and you're obligated. Because then it's going to be foreign to you. Now, if you start doing it now, you're already accumulating the experience, so to say. So that I tell to my students that are converting, do it now already. So with my kids, I put tzitzis on my kid when he's 3 years old. He doesn't.
Is that forcing them?
It's not forcing.
Forcing ladies on the kids.
If you force it, then
only
it's forcing.
Candy. Only the candy.
No. So you said your own answer. But you said your own answer. If you force it, then it's forcing. If you ask or tell or advise, or you get them excited to do it, then it's already not forcing. I don't force my kid to put tzitzit on. I tell him, look how nice my tzitzit is. Wow, I'm so lucky. There's nothing wrong. When I said that you have to give midot to your kids, midot can be honesty, charitable, courteous, patient, so forth. But midot is also midah of chesed, the midah of gvur, the midah of tferet. When you tell your kid one candy, you are giving them the midah of gvura. They need to know how to have the midah of gvura, of severity, of a limit. You have to do it to them. If not, they'll never have the midah of gvura to know when to say no.
Or they'll resent it.
They'll resent it for two reasons. Either it was shoved down their throat, or they are bound to resent it, and that's their path they have to go on. And the more you're going to build it right the first time, the resentment will be much less harsh. But one way of they're going to be resenting it, if you're going to really, excuse my language, shove it down the throat. So when I work with teenagers that are from religious families, and they go off the derech, they leave the religion, the 99% cause of it is that it was, again, excuse my language, shoved down their throat. It was forced in a very not nice way. So then the person is like, okay, most people, you push them, very few people will push back, most people will be like, okay, leave me alone. That's why in the concept of educating, a smart person, I'm going to say it actually the other way around, a not smart parent screams at their child. A smart parent doesn't scream at the child. He talks to the child. If I go now into the room and start screaming of my child to fix the room, he's not going to fix the room. He's going to put two toys away and then wait for me to close the door. And I'll go back into the room, fix the room! If you're not going to fix it! And so he's going to put this, wait for the door to close, and that's it. So a smart parent will not going to scream at the kid to fix the room. The smart parent will say, okay, let me help you. Where is this going? Where do you put this? I get him to do it with me. I already put guilt on him. Now, my father's now helping me fix my room. Now, depending on the level of intellect, if it's a three-year-old, okay, if you fix the room in 2 minutes, I have a surprise for you. Really? Yeah. So it all depends on the level of intellect who I'm dealing with. So with a 10-year-old, it's one way. A three-year-old is a totally different way. But I don't force my kids to do anything. I make them excited to do that thing. I make them excited to fix the room or help around the house or help cleaning around. I don't tell them, sweep.
If you don't manage to get them excited at that time,
then you have... There's no 100% success rate. And each kid is completely different. I have one kid that is more stubborn and I have one kid that is less stubborn. The more stubborn, he has a different dose. I know how to control the kid. Parenting is very, very, very sensitive. Kids are sensitive. If you scream at your kid, you hurt the kid. You hurt their emotions. Mommy screamed at me. They're not upset at you. They're hurt. Why did you raise your voice at me? Why did you threaten me? You have to dig into the mind of the kid. The kid is not an adult. He doesn't understand why you're screaming at him. So I don't want to sidetrack and to make a whole class about parenting. You want, we can establish a class about educating and parenting and parenthood, because you have to know how to do it. And you are obligated to design your kids. You are an architect of the next generation. And the reason, to kind of answer your question, why should I tell my kid to do it when I don't do it? Because by telling your kid to do it, it makes you do it. If I tell my kid constantly, fix your room, and my room is a mess, I'm a hypocrite. So I don't tell my kid, fix your room. I fix my room, and I make him understand that I fixed my room. So what is it making me do? It's making me fix my room. When my son, my second son was born, and I told you, I think I said that story many times, I'm just going to repeat it again. We had a Shalom Zachar. The Friday before the Brit, you make a big event, everybody comes, we had a very big party in our home. And a very big rabbi from the community where we lived at the time came. And it was a very big table, and everybody was, you should, blessing me, you should have a lot of nachal from him, he should be a Talmid Chacham, he should be a this, he should be a that. And everybody was throwing these beautiful brachot. And of course, I was waiting for that rabbi to also give me a bracha. And he told me, listen, I'm not going to give you a bracha. I'm going to give you advice. Whatever you want your son to be, you be. You want your son to be a lamdan? A student, a good student? You be a lamdan. You want your son to go to prayer every day? You go to prayer every day. You want your son to have derech eretz? Treat your wife nice. You want your son to be bal chesed, giving charity? You do that. These blessings here are very nice, but they, like bubbles, they pop. Don't wait for the blessing, do. So whatever you want your son to be, you be. So I know my faults, and if I don't know my faults, then I have a problem. I know my faults. Now give it to my when I'm giving it to my child, it's making me do it. So be'etzem, my children came to refine me. And if I give them the opportunity to do it, they will refine me. And if I'm joining my ego into the process, not only they're not going to refine me, I'm not going to get anywhere, and I'm not going to educate them what I'm supposed to, what I'm educated to do. And you know who's going to suffer it from the most? Me, when they're going to be teenagers and go against me. So if I invest my time, my money, my thought, my energy into giving into my kids, then when it's time for them to give it back to me, not that I'm looking for something to get back. I don't need my kids to come and give me something back. I want nachat. So I want when my kids are 16, 17, 20, to have nachat. Not that I'm going to be called every second day from the police station, come and get your son. So
you have to allow them to fail when they're young, or not?
Again, there's nothing is black and white here, because children are completely different. I have 6 kids, Baruch Hashem. Each one is a completely different individual. There's no method for each one. Each one is a completely different method. That's why when I want to work with them, one-on-one, not together. As a group, it will never work. When I want to give something over, then I work on them one-on-one. That's why each and every one of my kids, they have one time a week. That's the private time. Just me and them. And it's so important. It's much more important than me sitting in yeshiva and learning another book. I learn much less since I have kids, because it's more important to me to spend that time with my kid one-on-one. And the more kids you have, the more attention they need. So, again, we don't want to stop to do a class about parenthood, but the point is that I have the obligation, and it's not only on my kids, by the way. I have an obligation. The Torah tells me, "Ochech tochiach et amitecha." I have to prove wrong to somebody. Now, if I'm going to come to somebody on the street and scream at him, don't do that, then I'm going to get either a slap to my face if I'm in Israel, or I'm going to be cursed, or I'm going to start a fight. But I can come now to almost any individual in the world, and with the right attitude, give the message over. So, but I do have that obligation. And if I see something that is done wrong, I have the obligation to come and point it out, but in a very nice way, then I'm not going to cause a problem, of course. But if I just keep silence, then what am I doing? Why is Hashem showing me now something that happens? That's, we learned that from last week, from Moshe Rabbeinu. He saw the Mitzri hitting the Jew. He initiated something. And then he saw the two Jews fighting with each other. He also initiated something. When Hashem shows you something, you have to initiate peace. That's called Avi Shalom Ben Adam Lechavero. But really, not to sidetrack too much off our topic, yes, we are obligated in giving our kids the right measurement of everything. That's why it's called midot, because midah in Hebrew is a measurement. I need to know when to give a lot, when to move back. And with a short answer to your question, if to let them fail, sometimes they need to fail. It's all about how much you're giving in, giving out. You have to know how to control it. And that's another 3-month seminary, how to do that. Yes, quick question, and we'll go to our next class.